The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. In the long history of Reformation Sunday sermons, I wonder how many of them have begun with a quote about the election of a pope. Probably Luther's, actually. But Luther's wasn't from a movie about the election of a pope. By the way, this sermon comes with no spoilers about the recently released movie about the election of a pope. However, I am going to quote from that movie. In the just-released movie Conclave, a cardinal stands and speaks to the other likely candidates for pope, saying to them, "The church is not tradition. The church is not the past. The church is what we do next." The church is what we do next. And all the Lutherans in the movie theater, all two of us, my wife and I, said, "Amen."
Amen.
Amen. Ecclesia reformata, semper reformanda. The church reformed is always reforming. The church is what we do next. The church is what we do tomorrow. What else have you heard about the church recently? The church is in decline. The church is out of money. The church is in distress. The church is irrelevant. The church is patriarchal and homophobic. The church, maybe especially our corner of the church, is too white, too institutional, too capitalistic. The church, maybe especially in our corner of the church, is too liberal, too reactive, too feminine, too queer. The church is too much all the way around. In the end, here is the church. Here is the steeple, open the doors, and see all the people. And the church is the people, and we the people are not perfect. Saints and sinners, all of us, simul justus et peccator, and still the church is. The church is. The church is many things, and also the church is. Here we are today, singing praises to God, praying for guidance, breaking bread, sharing the cup, being the church today, and the church is, thanks be to God. This is good news, that the church is. But it's not the best news, because the best news is that God is, and that God is here. And God is speaking. As the psalmist wrote, "God is in the midst of the city. God speaks, and the earth melts away." When our brother Martin Luther chose to write the famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," based on the psalm of today, Psalm 46, I think he wanted to provide for himself and for others musical assurance that amidst the ecclesiastical drama of the time, the church's drama over his ministry, and especially those 95 complaints that he nailed to the Wittenberg door, ultimately, God was there with the people, with the church, with him. Martin Luther loved God. Martin knew that God loved him. God's love, Martin knew, was like four strong walls, a tower And maybe even a moat. We don't have a moat here, but imagine. A moat to keep out the devil. The God Luther loved was Jesus crucified and risen. And this living God was a mighty fortress that he trusted would protect him and the church and us today from the dangers in the world, the dangers of human judgment, human division, human folly, human sin. A mighty fortress is our God, he wrote, a bulwark never failing. Or as we heard today, God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day. The nations rage, the kingdoms shake, God speaks, and the earth melts away. God is in the midst of the city. It seems to me the city in the psalm stands for places that are in turmoil, places that are messy, places of unrest, or maybe just where we are. Amen? Amen. The city. God is in the midst of where we are. God is in this city, in this mess. Here are some things that I've seen in the midst of this city. Rats. So many rats. Trash. Bicycle accidents. Also in recent days, doxing trucks with the faces and names of Arab students circling around this neighborhood of our church. Also, anti-Semitic posters hung in front of Hillel during their Sukkot celebrations. Also, moving trucks and construction trucks and food trucks. So many trucks. And polling stations and festivals and protests, and for some reason, always a guy in a bear suit playing a keytar. I don't understand. Cantabrigians, please explain to me the guy that's always playing the keytar. And the psalmist says, God is here. God is here in the midst of this city. God is here in the midst of this mess, our mess. Your mess, whatever that mess is, and God is speaking. And the psalmist says, when God speaks, the earth melts away. When God speaks, all else fades into the background. When God speaks, we have no choice but to listen. On Wednesday this week, I spent the morning at Cambridge City Hall. First, the interfaith clergy from Cambridge gathered in the mayor's office to hear from the interim superintendent of the Cambridge Public Schools and then from director of the Housing Authority. Also, we ate some bacon and eggs. After that polite meeting, some of us moved next door to the city council chambers for a hearing on the situation with the shelters in the city. A large group of folks were gathered there, and many of them were people invited because they have been residents in our shelters in the past or currently. One by one, they were given 3 minutes to speak. One by one, they shared their experience that overall, they were not afforded the respect they deserved as fellow human beings. One man stood and spoke for his 3 minutes about his experiences in the various shelters. He said he'd been a resident of Cambridge for 15 years, and he's been unhoused the whole time. So he's been to all of our shelters. And he said that his friend Stephen had died in one of the shelters recently. And when his 3 minutes were up after telling his story, they started to call for the next speaker, and they said, Stephen, Stephen. And the previous speaker took his backpack off and placed it with a thud on the podium and said, this is my friend Stephen, or what remains of him. And if he were here, he would have a lot to say, but I think we should give him his full 3 minutes. And so there we sat for 3 minutes in silence, the remainder of his friend's speaking time. At the end of the allotted time, Stephen's friend picked up his backpack off the podium and said, "I'm sorry if this makes you uncomfortable, but I sort of am glad it does." When God speaks, the earth melts away. It felt to me, sitting in that room, that God was speaking through the thud of that backpack on that podium, and through the silence that followed. And when God spoke at that moment, almost everything else melted away. Robert's rules of order, who cares? The council agenda, the time limit, the discussion of budget for human beings, it melted away. And God spoke through the remains of a beloved child of God sitting on that podium in the city hall chambers. God is in the midst of the city, and God speaks. God is still speaking. And my question to us today is, what is God saying to us? What is God saying to you today? What is God saying to our time? What I heard when I heard God speaking through that backpack on the podium, what I heard was that sometimes our best efforts to love our neighbors as ourselves will fail, and we will miss the mark. When I see videos of mass destruction and war in the Middle East, I hear God speaking through my Palestinian and Israeli friends, who often like to say that, you know, everyone wants to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but actually everyone wants a piece of Jerusalem. Amen? God is speaking. God is speaking. And when God speaks, God reminds us through the voices of our neighbors, through scripture, through the groaning of our planet at this time, that yes, we miss the mark all the time. All the time. We miss the mark. We don't do it perfectly in our country, in our world, in our personal lives, in our church, this church. We are not perfect. That's the truth. We are at the same time saint and sinner. That's the truth about us. But also what we heard this morning is that when we know the truth will make us free. The truth will make us free. And the truth is, being saved by grace does not mean we are saved from terrible things. Being saved by grace does not mean we are saved from terrible things happening in the world or in our lives. Acknowledging our brokenness also, though, does not negate our belovedness. God has spoken. And when God speaks, the earth melts away. When God speaks, we have no choice but to listen. And so, on this day of Reformation, on this day, I hope, when we can lean into change and reform and grace as a world and as a community, as individuals, be reminded of some things that God has said. God has said, "You are made in the image of God. You, as you are." God has said that you will miss the mark, and you are loved. God has said that we are imperfect, and God has said, "I am with you always, to the end of the age." The church, big C, little c, Unilu, Catholic Church, Universal Church, whatever you want to call it. We are imperfect. We are an imperfect institution that also provides a solid foundation for us and our lives together. We are a beautiful building which also has tiles falling down and HVAC that doesn't work and flooding that happens and Lorraine who fixes it. And we are here together on this day, and we give thanks to God for that. We give thanks to God that we are made in the image of God. So, dear ones, hear this again. God didn't say this, but someone else did. Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformata. The church reformed is always reforming. The church is what we do next. The church is what we do next. Actually, life is what we do next, isn't it? Life is what we do tomorrow, together. Thanks be to God, we get to do that with the foundation of God's love, walking on that foundation, surrounded by God's love. A mighty fortress is God's love, a bulwark never failing. And so let's do the next thing together. Let's do tomorrow together. And let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.